The following is a teaching by Ivan Apana, founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban South.
Luke chapter 3, verse 38, you will find out in my opening remarks that Adam was made as a son of God. Say son of God. The first person God made, he made him as a son of God. In other words, what's first in the mind of God becomes important. Which means that if Adam, the first man, was created in the image and likeness of God, and also as the son of God, can you read there? Adam, giving us a genealogy, the last part, and Seth was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. Which means that God made Adam as his son. Which means that sonship to God is very important. And to me, as one who God has brought into his economy to lead you, to guide you, and to mentor you, I have to make sure that you become sons of God. Okay? Sons of God. That's what we are supposed to be. Not Christians, but sons of God. Not members of this church, but sons of God. Not just disciples, but sons of God. Like father, like son. In other words, if you looked at Adam, Adam looked like his father. He had the same image and likeness. So the son of God was Adam. But you know that Adam messed up terribly as God's son. He was placed in a perfect environment. And in that environment, God visited his son and he ministered to his son, communicated with his son, had a relationship with his son, and also guided his son out. Please note this, that God knew that Adam was going to fall. Because if God didn't know that, then we cannot say that God is omniscient. God is all discerning. God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. So, if he gave us choice, and he did not want to dictate when he gave us choice, the second point was, he had to make provision if man failed, if his son failed. So instead of dictating and saying, Adam, don't do that, he made provision as a loving father, if you do fall down, I will provide an alternate. And lo and behold, Adam failed, the son of man. And then God comes and he talks. He said, no more a single son. Let me look at a corporate son. Why did God want a son? He wanted representation on the earth. While he operated his system in the heavens, he wanted a man to operate his system on the earth. Do you understand that? And up till today, he works through representation on the earth. Do you know that God does not dictate? CJ read about a child taking her life. Is it her life? Her life. How old, CJ? 10-year-old taking it. Now, God can easily go and stop that child. But God wouldn't do that because upon the earth, he has given the administration of the earth to the sons of God. So when things happen on the earth, he's going to summon us, the sons of God. Why did you allow your unsaved family to go to hell? You had an opportunity to tell them, but you didn't tell them. So you will be summoned. Because we are the managers, in other words, stewards of the earth. And all the resources of the earth has been given to sons of God. That's why God saves us. He doesn't just save us to leave the earth. He saves us to bring impact on the earth. That's why he said that to us, occupy till I come. And so a single man called Adam sinned, and God said, no. Let me raise up a corporate son. And we see how he identified his corporate son in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And let's read that verse of scripture. Are you with me? Exodus chapter 4 verse 22, we see a corporate son called a nation coming forth because he wanted to lay his priesthood on a company of people that will represent him. Now let's look at this. Let's look at this. The object of our management is the earth, okay? When you look at the earth, cosmos, you'll see that the people of the earth is what God is after. You with me? So he can't come down and work with the people because he is spirit. So he works with his spirit locked into a people that will represent him to a people that's perishing. It is not his will that none should perish. It is his will rather that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world, not the church, the world. Jesus came to die for the world. World in this instance is the people. Came to die. But he gave us choice. Gave us choice. You have choice. You exercise a choice. So many times we will not even relate to God on important decisions. We will make the decision and then come and talk about it. But we never go to God first. Because we exercise our choice. Number one. Number two. If I asked you today, how many of you want to get to heaven? I want to pray you through to heaven today. None of you will come down to the altar yet for that prayer. Is it true? If I ask you today, would you want to go to heaven today? Would you like to leave the earth right now? I will pray for you and you can make your exit. None of you will come. Because in you is built into your genes the whole ethos, the mechanics of ruling and reigning. It's called the dominion mandate. God placed it in you when he made you. And you want to rule and reign on the earth. That's why God said, we will not rule over another human being, but we'll rule over the fish and all of it. Go and read Genesis chapter 1. Because one human being does not want to be dominated by another. Because each one of us is a king and a priest. Are you with me? That's why we get offended so easily and then the flesh takes over because we don't want to be told. Because each one of us has a responsibility to exercise our choice that's within us to rule and reign responsibly. And so we come here. Then Moses was summoned before God, God said to him, I want you to go and set free Israel. This is my nation. I'm using this nation as a tupos. A tupos means an example. I'm taking this example of Israel, the Hebrews, and I'm going to use them as an example, as a shadow, as a template of what I'm going to do many years, thousand years later. He knows the big end from the beginning. Are you with me, Chad? And so he comes and looks at it. Adam was the son of God. Look at here. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, Moses, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son. Not only my son, but my firstborn son. Now last week I told you that if you are a firstborn son of God, you wear the coat of many colors. Number two, you have a double portion. That's why Joseph had two sons and each of his sons becomes a nation. Ephraim becomes a nation. And also, Manasseh becomes a nation. Can you see two double portion for Joseph as a son? Now, this is my son. Israel is my son, my firstborn. Continue, verse 23. I'm getting somewhere. I'm building a thread in this teaching this morning to to bring you to a point to tell you that your priesthood is according to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That if you acquaint yourself and you immerse yourself and marinate yourself in the truth that Jesus' priesthood is eternal, then you will understand your priesthood. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn, Pharaoh. And you understand, Pharaoh refused and all of them perished. Right? So you understand this concept. Are you with me? Amen? Okay? So the corporate son was Israel, and they were supposed to be the firstborn son. God told Moses that. It's my son, my firstborn son. But they messed up. They messed up the priesthood. Why did God? What does God want with them? You go to Exodus 19 verse 6, and it tells us there what God wanted with his firstborn son. What did he want them to become? In their office, in their importance, their son and firstborn. Are you with me? Identity. But they have an office. God gave them an office to walk into. And this was an office. And you shall be to me, say this after me, a kingdom of priests. So he was bringing them out of Egypt to make them in their office, place them in their correct office. It's called the placement principle. Place them in their proper office of king and priest. Can you see right in Exodus the thoughts of God for us? Wants us to become a kingdom of priests. So he failed with Adam. He failed with the corporate Israel, and you know how Israel gave him a hard time throughout this, throughout the Old Testament. And he used so many prophetic voices to warn them, Thus say the Lord, thus say the Lord. He kept speaking to them. I think God was kept very busy. Before man was born, first man was born, I think he had a different agenda, work, what work he was doing. But when man was born, he was kept very busy. Always busy. The thing that he created that would be his crowning glory let him down. And so God said the priesthood failed with the children of Israel. Let me now place this priesthood. I want this kingdom of priests. It is going to be my ultimate system on the earth. Kingdom priest. Kingdom priest. Kingdom of priests. And so if I ask you today, what is your office? You will tell me, I'm a kingdom of priests. This means that I have two important words here in this calling. One is king and the other is priest. Can you see that? So they failed, and then God said, listen, let me go to Israel, and let me pick up two tribes from Israel. Some history, okay? I'm trying to put this into our minds. Let me pick up two tribes from the whole 12. I'm going to pick up Levi, and I'm going to pick up Judah. With Judah, I'm going to give him a scepter. But with Levi, I am going to cause them to do the priestly function. I can't argue with God when he says these things. Okay. But remember one thing. Remember one thing as you read Genesis. Levi and Simeon had a problem of anger. You know their sister Dinah, she was raped by Shechem, and the whole men of Shechem were killed by two guys, two brothers, Simeon and Levi. And Levi was supposed to represent the priest. That's why those that are too much into the prayer, into the intercession, they have an anger problem. They got a strict code. And they all want things by the book. That's a Levitical law, order. They are too strict. That's why God, Moses was from there. Is it right? Moses was from the tribe of Levi. And God says, Moses, you were excellent in the wilderness. No distractions. Nothing to rebuke in the wilderness. No demons there because it's a wilderness. But for the next phase of the journey of the children of Israel, there's going to be giants there. There's going to be city lights. There's going to be distractions. Let's see if you can still lead them. I'll give you a chance, but I'm going to put you through a test. So God says, right now, let me put you through the test. God put Moses to the test. What test? He said, now, Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. I don't want you to strike the rock. And Moses was angry at that moment. He took the stick and he struck the rock again. And God said, Moses, disqualified. Your job is over. Raise the next man. And so, you know, and I mentioned that Joshua came into to lead from the tribe of Ephraim. So Moses was from the tribe of Levi, and the Levitical priesthood continued throughout the Old Testament. You know that. It's a Levitical priesthood. It's a priesthood where someone represents a group. Even in the tabernacle, you had the high priest from Aaron's family who went and represented the children of Israel once a year as a high priest beyond in the third room, which is the darkest room of the tabernacle. God came and met them there. Now let us just look at Jacob's prophecy over his sons. Because what Jacob prophesied in Genesis chapter 49, when he called all his 12 sons, he started to prophesy over them before he died. The Bible says he was so weak, he was old, he was weak, he was almost blind. And as his sons walked into the room, he just got up on the bed, started to prophesy. Now let's see how he prophesied over Levi and how he prophesied over Judah. Because God was going to use these two tribes, and Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. David is from the tribe of Judah. The church is from the tribe of Judah. Are you with me? I'm trying to put some things together. I'm not too good in this, but I'm trying to just paint a picture in your mind so you can carry this as we go deeper and understanding your priesthood and my priesthood. Are you with me? So let's go to Genesis. Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Are you with me? How is this going to affect us today? We are in the last days, and Jacob, prophesying many thousand years before, had his telescope, and he looked through his spiritual telescope, and he saw Harry, he saw Mogi, he saw Stanton, he saw all of us, and he saw us through the telescope. And today we are receiving a prophetic word from a patriarch that looked through the annals of history, and he sees and he views us. So let's take this prophetic word this morning and look how true it is when Levi and Simeon killed the Shechem boys because they interfered with their sister Dina. So let's go to Levi and look at Levi. Okay, let's hear. Verse 5. Read with me. Simeon and Levi are brothers, instruments of. And you know Levi is a priestly function. But Jacob says, you guys are too angry too quickly, and you can be very cruel. Although you love praying, and that was in the Pentecostal realm. The Pentecostal realm, if you walk past the cinema, you got 6 months discipline. Is that true, Pastor Lionel? You could never wear a pants and stand on the stage. You'll be examined with a duke. You'll be handed a duke at the door. Is that true? How many of you came from there? Auntie Soundler was a wife of a pastor. She knows that. These were, and if you were not dressed appropriately, you must go home. There were strict rules. And so you see here, the prophetic word over Levi. You are instruments of cruelty and are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their, what? In their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. You understand what I'm saying? God had to use this priesthood for a time, but it could not survive today. That priesthood cannot save us today. That's why it took someone to come to put a line across this whole priesthood. God always wants a priesthood. But it had to take someone to put two lines and write the word cancel over this priesthood. The children of Israel were under this priesthood during Moses' time and throughout the old covenant. You understand that? Someone came and his name is Jesus. That's why we're going to study Jesus and his priesthood in detail. Let's go and see Judah. Judah. Let's see what prophetic word came. Is this interesting? Let's see what prophetic word. This is relating to you and I. Because when you pray, you're going to pray these things through. Let's look at Judah is a lion's whelp. Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's, you get it. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? Hallelujah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. You are from the tribe of. The scepter will not depart from you. This is a word for you today, church. Your rulership is not questionable. You have a choice to walk as a king or walk as a pauper. You have a right choice today to live from above or to live from below. You have a choice today to walk as with regality, as a king, amongst the members of this, citizens of this world. You are a king. Jesus came not as a priest, not as God, but he came as a king. How do I know this? Can you quickly go to this verse for me? John 18:36. John 18:36. And we'll come back to this prophetic word. Are you with me, church? John 18:36. Jesus came as a king. He didn't come as a savior. He came as a king. He came as a king. He was sent to restore your kingship according to the prophetic word that Jacob gave over Judah. Because you and I are of the tribe of Judah. Jesus answered, standing before Pilate, in Pilate's court, just before he dies. Pilate summoned him into the court, and Pilate is baffled because he sees innocence in front of him. Why do these people want him? Why do these people want him dead? Why are they asking me to release Barabbas? A downright criminal, and they want, because once a year they had to release one prisoner. The people wanted Barabbas, and Jesus, of course, is standing before Pilate. And this is what Jesus answered him. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight you, Pilate, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. I want to tell you today what he actually was saying. You got a silly kingdom out here. My kingdom is permanent. My kingdom is above. My kingdom is by my Father. My kingdom is much more substantial. My kingdom has so much more to offer. You worried about a kingdom that can perish? I am of another kingdom. And I tell you today, you are of that another kingdom. No one can mess around with you because you belong to a kingdom that is powerful. Hallelujah. eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man what the things God has prepared for those that love Him. Hallelujah. Come on, get ready for the greater things. Get ready for the better things. As we study the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is all about the word better. Better. The priesthood of Melchizedek is better than the priesthood of Levi. Jesus is better than Moses. The family under Jesus is better than the family under Moses. Everything under Jesus' rulership is better for you and I. So we need to step into it. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Next verse, Dave. Verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king? Are you a king? Are you trying to tell me that you are a king? Let's hear the wise words of Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus answered, you say rightly. You say rightly. You are spot on. I am a king. And for this cause, I was born. I came through Mary's womb to be a king on the earth. But not a king of this natural world. I'm a governor and a king of the spiritual world. You cannot see my kingdom, but it's more powerful than yours. Put me in the grave in 3 days' time. I'll arise and my kingdom will be evident with power. It'll come. It's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom of purpose. And it's a kingdom of precision. This is my kingdom. Jesus is standing before Pilate. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world. So what Jesus came into the world for? Talk to me. What is he saying? I came to be a king. My role and purpose coming into the world is to express my kingship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't just come to fight the devil. I already fought him before the foundation of the world. The lamb was sacrificed. I completely conquered the devil. I came to express my kingship so my people, citizens of that around me, will also become kings. Because when they are kings, I become king of kings. And so it's for this cause I was born into this world that I may. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. That was the final outcome of this court case. I find no fault with the one who has just told me he was born to be a king. For this reason, they put on his cross on the top, King of Jews, that inscription on the cross. So let's go back, and I'm still not getting where I want to get. I wish I could start again and start the second part, but it's important to know these things. So let's get back to the prophetic word over Judah. A few things that you must know. Number one, the lion. The image of a lion is in the tribe of Judah. You got that? A lion doesn't back off. A lion is powerful. Come on. A lion chooses his battles. And lion knows how to conquer. Secondly, the scepter will not leave the people of Judah. You and I are of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. David came from the tribe of Judah. Are you with me? Okay. The scepter will not leave, depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Let's go on. Binding, underline this, please, please, please. This is exceptionally important. Binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem before he died, he rode on two donkeys. He rode on the Father and he rode on the Son. Are you with me? But right thousands of years before that, Jacob is prophesying as a patriarch over the tribe of Judah. And he says, in the last days, there must be the Father-Son wineskin. So that is why we push sonship so much in this church, because it is part of a Judah people's mandate. The ethos and the principle of this house must be the donkey and the colt. The Father and the Son. Amen. Amen. And Jesus, in all of his dealing on the earth, only spoke about, I will not do and say anything without my Father. John 5:19. John 5:19. John 5:19. And you can read that prophetic word about wine, which represents revelation, white teeth that represents purity. All of those principles are part of a governing Judah anointing. Are you with me? So you must come right now. You got to repent to God and say, I was going this way. I'm part of a Judah. I can't display Levi's mentality. I've got to display a Judah mentality. I've got to be like a lion. That's why it's so important. We're like a lamb. We roar on the inside. But when we're outside, we show the image of a lamb. We don't roar at people. We roar on the inside. But when we stand in front of people, we're like a lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, read with me please, church, the Son can do nothing of himself. That image is coming into the house of God, where sons can do nothing of themselves except what he sees the Father do. So there is a solemn and reverential calling on a spiritual father to display Heavenly Father to the church. It is hard, but it has to take place where a spiritual father cannot just be a pastor. A pastor is a function, but churches are led by fathers. You see what Jesus said? A son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the fathers do. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus, the Father is not sleeping. He is working. Because the Son has to work. As he's working, he's having his eye on his Father. Are you with me? Whatever he sees his Father, he doesn't have a different agenda. There's no two visions in the house. There's one vision. There's one vision. There's one point of reference. God made it like that. He said, I'll place a man as a set person, and he'll be the father of the house, and sons will draw from him. Are you with me? The vision I place in one man. And God confirmed that when Moses was battling with the people of Israel. And he was battling. He was crying. He was depressed. He was frustrated. And coming from the tribe of Levi, he was very angry. Anger was part of there, although he was a meek man. He was very angry. And his father-in-law, who was a Midianite priest, his father-in-law was an unsaved man, came to visit him to see his daughter, Zipporah. And his name was Jethro. His father-in-law's name was Jethro. And Jethro said to him, Moses, my son-in-law, why are you so depressed? I'm paraphrasing. Why are you so depressed? Why? There's a way out. We learned this in the world. Why don't you apply this here? We learned this in our trade. Why don't you apply it here? Why don't you raise up some men and place your agenda in these men? Distribute your workload in these men, and then all of them can work with you taking instructions from you. You delegate to these 70 men, raise up these men. Imagine an old man, Jethro, is advising his son-in-law. Moses goes before God and he places this, and God says, that's a good plan. Let's adopt it. But this is how I'm going to adopt it. I am going to come. I don't want to deal with all your sons that you're going to raise. I want to deal with you. I will take enough resources and I'll place it inside of you, Moses. Then you take from yourself and you distribute it to the 70 men. So God only deals with a set person, puts everything, and then from there it has to be distributed. That's how God operates. That's not how the world operates, but that's how God operates. That's how his house should operate, and that's how it is. That's why there should be honor and respect for the word that comes to you, right? And it is your duty in your priesthood to make the function of the set man pleasant, easy and pleasant. Where does it say that in the Bible? Let's go and check that out. I think its time is running out now. It's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Is this something you're learning today? That you are the tribe of Judah. That's why you are not going to look for you. Go and search for promotion. Promotion will look for you. I'm telling you, that's why. Don't go by what the paper says. You must have this degree and you must have so many years experience. That is for the unsaved. For you, it's different. You are the tribe of Judah. The resources of this world belongs to your daddy. Come on. Come on. I want you to speak it over your life. If there's something lying in limbo for you, I want you to blow it out by declaring over it and speaking into that situation. You have the technology of speaking. Hallelujah. You speak over situations, it'll come to pass. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. And this is a final verse maybe, and we can close today. But this is so important. Obey those who rule over you. Obey. Obey those that rule over you. God has placed a set man over his house. See, this is his house. And his house, God has put particular order. And we have to follow that order. And what's your job as the priest of the tribe of Judah, people of Judah? Arise and obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Go home this week and study obedience and submission. Very important, because it'll set you free, set your children free, it'll set your family free, it'll adjust your marriage. Those two words are absolutely important. The son does nothing until he hears the father. Y'all heard that? John 5:19. Yeah, obey those and be, for they watch out for your souls. Do you know how important your soul is? You know how important? Maybe your circular boss looks out for your body and for your welfare. But spiritual parents look out for your soul. You know the Bible says in 3 John, your prosperity comes with proper alignment of your soul. How's that verse goes there? As your soul prospers. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. That's an important part. So who looks after your souls? Spiritual fathers. We push and pray for you. We want it. We celebrate with you. We get you to commit to the word of God. Because if your souls are adjusted, your natural prosperity becomes natural. Is it in the word? 3 John, verse? Hey, MC, thank you. 3 John 1 verse 2. 3 John 1 verse 2. As your soul prospers, so your health and your body and every facet of your life. So who are these people? Oh yeah, one beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Say all things. And be in health. Just as your soul prospers. So who is overlooking your soul? The set man of the house. God has given that over to us. So go back to that. Obey those for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Do you know I have to give an account of every one of you? On the reward ceremony, I will be questioned about each one of you. Why didn't you warn? Why were you so quiet? Why did you tolerate this brother? Why did you tolerate this sin in the house? Why didn't you speak against adultery? Why didn't you speak? All of this I have to give an account. Can you see that? Let them do so with joy and not with grief. Talking to the saints. In other words, you must make sure that Pastor Ivan is enjoying what he's doing. He must do so with joy. He mustn't go home and scratch his head. Hey, but this brother, what is he in this house for? Lord, take him away. He's giving me grief. All his problems, I can't concentrate. Hey, I don't know how to tell him he's wrong. Because he's so sensitive. I mustn't do that. I must stand up as one God is called to speak directly into your life. Because your souls are important. The soul that sins shall surely die. I don't want that. Amen. So, for that would be unprofitable, not for the pastor, for you. You're going to be minus, 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 minus. How about you going? Have you seen a person going to the ATM, puts his card in, and all he gets out is a slip? He looks at the slip, no funds. Have you been there before? Have you been there before? Have you been there before? It's a sad state. It's a sad state. Imagine minus, minus on your spiritual account. Because you made, it's unprofitable for you. Your account is coming down, 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 down. When you go make a withdrawal, nothing is there. Because you withdrew all your benefits by being